Yeah, honestly, it does. I'll be honest. It felt great as soon as I passed my commercial check ride and my DP shook my hand and said, "Go make some money." I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Nice.
It's a different pride I think you get once you pass the check ride, especially when you get commercial multi and then you realize like, hey, I could get a job flying at King Air right now if I get lucky, or you have the qualification to.
Gotcha.
Hello, aviators. Welcome back to the Profile Playbook podcast, where we help aspiring pilots get out of that job they hate and become a professional pilot in the quickest and most cost-effective way possible. Today, we got another great show, another interview. This is an update from an interview we did in the past from a student who did all of his training at ATP, and I'll let Mike introduce him.
Yeah, so we have today Jamal Orr, and he was, welcome to us. He came to us, actually, we found him. He has his own YouTube channel, which he'll talk to you about. And I watched a video that he posted about why he selected ATP flight school and he decided to change careers from an airport manager. And I was inspired by it. So I reached out to him because I wanted to bring him to our audience. And it turns out, if you look at our views on our, this is one of the top 10 videos that we've done. And at the time, if you're a viewer and you haven't seen the first video, I encourage you to go back and watch it. But he was all the way up into his instrument check ride, and there was a little bit of a slowdown with a designated pilot examiner to take the check ride. And he was talking about his background and how he got to where he was at. Well, he's all finished with the program now, and he's starting to move on.
Mike, one of the things real quick we should mention, one of the reasons I think that last video got so many, it was so popular, was Jamal is the quintessential zero to hero. Showed up at ATP with $0 in his pocket, did the financing. And I think the title of that podcast, that show, was how to, I think it was zero to hero with $0, how to become a professional pilot with $0 or something like that. I can't remember, but we'll put a link to it in the description. But that was one of the big draws. Jamal did like the big package ATP's always advertising.
Right. Yeah. And he also, a little teaser for what's to come at the end of the video. Another one of our most popular videos, if not our most, to tie in is skipping your CFI. And that's the direction that Jamal is headed. So let's hear your story. So welcome to the podcast, and just start the viewers at where we started it, you waiting for your instrument check ride, and let's get an update on all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I waited for my instrument check ride. I took that, I believe, October 3rd. I took my instrument check ride. I waited about a month for that. So that's why it was like, I was super down at the time about waiting. And that's honestly the biggest drawback from the program is the DPE wait. That's out of the control. After I got done with my instrument, I went on crew. We talked about it a little bit last time where they send you and another instrument rated private pilot to build time. So they send you all around the country. I went all the way up to Carlsbad, California, on my crew. And you build about 30 hours.
Was that fun?
Yeah, it was super fun. You overnight, you get, they pay for the Ubers, they pay for the hotel. It kind of makes you feel like you're actually a corporate or airline pilot when they send you on crew, but with not as much hours. So after I got done with that, that's supposed to be 2 weeks. So I knocked it out in 1 week, just did everything in one go. Came back, started my commercial training right away, knocked out all my commercial training in about 3 weeks, waited for my commercial check ride for 2 weeks, did that. I was a breeze. Honestly, commercial wasn't that hard. I think
it's probably the easiest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So knocked that out. What else? After that, I went into my multi. So I decided to defer my CFI a little bit late. All throughout the program, I was thinking, I want to be a CFI, II, MEI. I had full intentions of doing it until I looked at my ATP funds account and I realized I didn't have enough money to live for my living expenses. So I wouldn't be able to continue the program without bringing in some type of income. So At that point, it was about a day before I was about to start CFI Academy, and I called up training support and let them know that, you know, it's not going to work out for me. They're understanding. They said many people, you know, have financial struggles in the program to where, you know, they don't have family to support them or for whatever reason, a spouse, and, you know, just continue with the program. And after that was commercial multi. So as soon as I told them, I gave them that call, they updated my training outline. And next week I was flying to Piper Seminole, knocked out 10 hours in it, got endorsed for my check ride. And after I took my check ride, then the remaining 15 hours that I had, I just flew them out doing cross countries, night cross countries, logging simulated instrument, just trying to get that valuable time that's hard to get outside of the training environment.
So I got a question. So the extra 15 hours, was that because you actually progressed a little faster and you had some hours left over?
Yes. So that's, so when you buy the whole program, you get 25 hours of multi. And now how you split up, if you still do the traditional way of doing your CFI, double I and MEI, you split those 25 multi over, you split 25 over CF double I, commercial multi, and MEI. And so basically you get, you know, just a little bit for each, which is extremely stressful when you're doing that, because you might only get like 7 hours for your commercial multi and another seven for your CF double I. But when you defer CFI, you get all 25 of those hours in your commercial multi phase. Now, I would recommend anyone watching this that's in the program to still do your commercial multi in a small amount of time so you could get that PIC time in the multi engine afterwards, which is, you know, king. But you can use 25 hours to get prepared for your check ride.
So Jamal, from start to finish, remind us start to finish, how long did this take you to go from the day you walked in the door? And I am correct in saying you walked in there with, maybe you'd done a couple flight lessons or something. You didn't walk in there with your private, correct?
Yeah, I came in with my private.
Okay, private. That's right. That's okay.
Yeah, gotcha. So from start to finish, my last check ride was about 5 months. It was about 5 months exactly, maybe six, if we're counting when I had to finish up that last bit of multi time. Started July 10th, and I did my multi check ride on January 3rd.
All right, so instrument through commercial multi-engine instrument in 5 months. All right, 5 months. That's pretty good. Great. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the money portion, because that's what everybody wants to know, but right, nobody wants to talk about
how long.
First thing
how
I want to ask,
right?
Yeah. So first thing I want to ask is, a big thing, and I've called and you know, I've people tell us, you know, roughly if you the course is, you know, 80,000 if you have a private, and around 100 if you have if you have 0 hours. But one of the concerns that everybody always asks us and brings up and everything is, but is that like the minimum? And really, people take more hours than that, and that's what they say to get you in the door. And then it actually costs more. But it sounds like, based on your multi thing, that may not be the case. Did you finish it in the exact hours that they said?
Yes, I finished in exactly what they told me. Now, the time, not so much, because I deferred three ratings and I still finished in the minimum time they told me. But as far as price wise, the price didn't fluctuate. Well, let me not say that. So when I started the program, they told me 75K. That was the baseline, just the flying, nothing else extra. Like, not the base pay doesn't include the check rides, written exams, housing, or any outside supplies like buying an iPad. And that was 75 grand. I decided to take out 96 because I wanted to include housing in there and I wanted to be able to pull my check ride money out.
Okay.
But what I didn't factor in is the length of the program. So I was on month 5 and I only was a commercial pilot, and I still had 4 more check rides. So I wouldn't have enough money to cover my housing for those maybe 3 months extra that I would get in the program. And that's why I deferred. So that's how the price jumped for me, was in terms of housing. And that's why I couldn't afford to stay in the program any longer. But the price they tell you is the price. I ended up spending, I think it was 93 grand with everything included, like my housing, my living expenses, everything included, on top of the program.
Okay. Gotcha. One more question, follow-up question to that. So another fear that the viewers have is, you know, this is a pilot mill and people wash out. And so like a worst scenario, me as a parent, like if I was going to send my son through, it's like, man, am I going to commit to, you know, it's almost a six-figure training. And then halfway through, they're like, you can't, you're not going to make it. And then you're gone. And then I'm left with a $50,000 bill and my son got nothing. Right. Did people wash out when you were there, or what happens there?
Yeah. So that is a reality of the program, is that you can wash out. ATP, I think they're trying to protect their pass rate, their image that they're trying to portray. So they'll kick you out before you can ruin that, before you can, you know, get a check ride failure on their name. So it is a possibility that you can get kicked out. But my biggest thing I can say to that is the people that are always at the training center, treating it like a full-time job, putting in 40 hours a week overtime, those are the people that are not. It's impossible for you to get kicked out at that point.
Right. If you're applying yourself, if you want this, that would be quite a stretch to get kicked out.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is, it can happen. I've had multiple people that I've known that, you know, maybe couldn't get past the written exam, couldn't do it within the time period they want you to do it, or, they'll kick you out because they say you have to do this within the first week of starting your instrument training. And if they'll give you a grace period, it might give you another week. But if you still can't get those 390% to get endorsed for the written, then they'll be like, all right, clearly there's something not connecting here. And they'll just, you know, say bye. Or if you fail a certain amount of evals. So they give you an eval in your instrument phase. And really, that was a little bit simpler. You have a whole bunch of evaluation flights in your private pilot phase because you got to get evaluated before your solo, your cross-country solo, and so on and so forth. And if you fail two, then you're on the verge of getting kicked out. They say two is the strike to get kicked out, but if you're trying hard and putting in the work, you might get a third try. But
are these check rides or stage checks? Do they do it a stage check thing?
It's essentially a stage check, but they stage call them evals. They call them evaluation.
Okay. Yeah, the stage check is actually a term for a 141 school, but yeah, they do their own version of it as you go. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Yeah, that's how the real world operates, really. I mean, Sean and I can be, you know, we can be left behind in our job, you know. So if you're not serious about it and you fail, you know, a recurrent or something like that, you could, you know, so I guess that's really good that it's preparing. Now, one last question. I don't want to dwell on this too much, but if a student, say, didn't pass a written or whatever, and they've trained for, say, you know, 25 hours or something like that, they don't take the whole it's 80,000 from them, right? They would just bill them for whatever they use. So far,
yeah,
right?
They bill them from what they use, but it's a steep price. I'd say it's a steep price for what you got, because if you only got them through halfway or through private, and then you're paying, you know, 15 grand and you still don't have a private cert, which is, I think that's where the scam comes in, is if you're kind of cheating yourself. So I'd say if you're thinking about coming to the program, just give it all you got. I've had people reach out to me and say, you know, Can I take time off? Can I take vacation, or can I work a full time job? I have this, and it's like, you can, but you're only hurting yourself. You know, you want to buckle down and just give it all you got for these 6 months, 7 months, and just, you know, become, you know, the pilot that you wanted to be all your life.
Right, Jamal. Before we get into what you're doing now, which we want to cover too, unless Mike, you had another question about that.
Just to put a bow on that topic, it sounds like for our viewers, and I don't really think any of our viewers are any of these people, but the people that maybe their parents are forcing them into a shoe that doesn't fit and they're paying for everything and they don't really want to be there and they're not studying, those are the people that are making it. But normal people like us three that are, this is really what they want to do, they're of average intelligence and they try hard, they're going to make it through no problem. Is that what you would say?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I just ask you on the ATP topic, Jamal, you know, it's easy to sit here and rattle off a bunch of pros of why you should do ATP. You know, yeah, it's expensive, but, you know, you're getting something for that money. You're getting through this thing fast in a professional environment. Right. And they got locations all over the country. You know, the financing is there. You know, it's easy to sit here and rattle off some pros. I kind of wanted to force you to give me some negatives if you could come up with them. Of, I mean, because there has to, I mean, there's got to be something. It can't all be rosy. What you got any critiques for them?
I do, and which one of them I seen they actually fixed. So my biggest critique was saying that the program is going to take you this long, and when you get there, it's nowhere near that. Gotcha. So they actually updated the program timeline on the website from 5 months without your private to 6 months, and from 7 months with 5 months with your private and without your private back then, it was 5 months. And then with your private, it was seven, something like that. And then now it's up to 6 and 9. So the 9 months is like the longest it takes. But that was my biggest thing, was them telling you, you know, you'll become an MEI in this amount of time, and you get there and people are there for a year. And I didn't like that, because you can easily just tell the truth. Just don't sell a lie.
Right.
It's so still fast, whether it takes 8 months or 9 months, it's still fast. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, that was my biggest thing.
But if you're going in there budgeting to live in, you know, if you got to travel to this place and you're living in a hotel or extended living situation or something, you know, and I think ATP has some of their locations have residences set up for the, or like dorms or something, or, if you're budgeting for this much time and now it's 2 months longer, you know, where's that money coming from for you to live and eat?
Yep. That's what I ran into. And that's the whole reason why I'd end up deferring my CFI was for that reason. I just didn't budget for, you know, 9 months. I budgeted for 5. Gotcha. So that was my biggest thing. And then I think my second biggest thing is, I'd say maybe just the lack of personal, I guess, you know, learning, like directed towards you. You're not going to get that at ATP. Everything is just by the book. And that's something that didn't really affect me, but I've seen it affect other people. And it just sucks because I've had a friend that was in his instrument phase, and he just couldn't understand, you know, the final call when you're getting cleared to shoot an approach, you know, turn heading this, descend and maintain this, you know, clear ILS, whatever. Like, he couldn't comprehend that. And he just needed just someone to like break it down for him, an instructor to just sit down and explain certain things to them, and then he couldn't get it. So he ended up just quitting. And that happens to a lot of people, that they just can't get that, you know, specialized instruction.
Yeah. And sometimes you just need to hear something explained by a different person who accidentally does it in a different way, and boom, everything clicks.
Exactly. Or you might just need a different instructor. I've had another friend where he just needed a different instructor because his current instructor wouldn't endorse him for his check ride, because I believe that she might have had a few other failures on her record as a CFI. Endorsing students, so she didn't want to endorse him without
being super perfect. Cautious.
Yeah. Exactly. So he requested another instructor, and ATP wouldn't give that to him. And he was like, "Well, this is if you're not going to endorse me, then I'll go somewhere else." So it's that kind of thing that ATP does, where it's like their way or no way. And I think, you know, they could have a lot more pilots and people staying in the program if they weren't, you know, so by the book. But I mean, I get it, it's just the way it is, but. That's a con of the program. Well,
that is really valuable, Jamal. I think you're giving people painting a really good picture, and it still seems like overall a very good thing. But you know, you're telling people that are really the way it is. So, I mean, that's great. That way, you have the information coming in to it now. Yeah, so okay, so now let's get into the interesting part of what you're doing now. So you've got your commercial. You're completed. Mm-hmm. You said, "I'm done with ATP. I'm done." You're skipping your CFI, maybe. And tell us what you decided to do.
All right. So after I finished up the program, I started applying to a whole bunch of jobs. And fortunately, I landed a job with the Aero Survey Company. So the type of work I'll be doing, it's not exactly what I was expecting after I got my commercial, but it's a foot in the door. I'll be a sensor operator with the Aero Survey Company. And through that, what that basically means, if you don't know what Aero Survey is, they do work from, you know, Google Maps, electronic vehicles, and like the data they get, like Teslas, and construction sites, mining, oil fields, you know, city projects. They
do a great time building job here.
Mm-hmm. So So that's the route I decided to take. I'll be a sensor operator. And within the company, you can move up to a pilot, especially if you're already rated. And the way they have me set up is this location, they have a pilot that's about to hit his 1500, which they expect to leave. And I'm coming in with my commercial. So I have to pay my dues a little bit. The world, I was told there is a little bit of time to log safety pilot hours for the pilots to keep their currency in, as well as if we're doing a deadhead leg. It's a long leg and it's just to and from, then I can act as a safety pilot on that leg. But it's slow hours as a sensor operator. So I kind of, like I said, I have to pay my dues before I get to the flying position to where I'm flying, you know, 20 hours a week or, you know, doing all that good stuff.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
So what? How many hours are you sitting at right now?
Yeah, so right now I'm sitting at 240. The company requires, I believe, 300 hours for you to, you know, be signed off as, you know, the PIC of the aircraft. They fly high-performance single engines and high-performance twin-piston aircraft. And they, I believe they have a few turboprops as well.
Okay. Wow.
You said 240? Cool. You're at 240 hours?
Yes, 240 hours.
Okay.
So you'll get some right seat time that you can log when, you know, when you're repoing or whatever, and that will bring you up to the 300 hour mark. Is that the plan?
Right, exactly. That's the plan that I'm, and of course I'm still going to be flying on the side. I'll be out in Reno, and there's a couple flight schools with Tailwheels and Piper Cubs that I definitely want to go fly and get some more, awesome. You know, specific time, like Tailwheel time, high performance time, stuff like that.
Okay, gotcha. So if this all goes well and this guy moves on to the airlines at 1,500 hours and then you're right there ready to go, you move over, about how many hours are these guys flying, like a month or something? Do you know?
I believe it's averaging around 500 to 600 hours or a year. Excuse me. I don't know how much a month.
A year, 500 a year. That's a lot of flying, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's
that'll get you there. I know some
guys that are bringing in like crazy amount of hours a month, probably.
Well, if you're down in Florida or Arizona, one of those places, it's not uncommon to, as a CFI, you could time out, you know, the 100 hours a month. You could definitely do it. It's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's a great alternative to being a CFI. I was willing to take anything, and like we talked about in the last podcast, I'm open to moving anywhere. I'll take any opportunity further in my career. So I think this is a great opportunity. If you don't want to be a CFI, and get your foot in the door and then move up in a company, and you know, yeah.
So you'll be moving from Denver to Reno?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, Reno's a great town, man. You got, you know, it's a cool town, and then you got Lake Tahoe right there, which is a winter wonderland and a summer beautiful place. I mean, that right. That sounds exciting.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So now looking back, when you think of yourself in Texas as an airport manager and a job that you were buried in paperwork and honestly, you really didn't care for. And now here you are right now about to move to Reno. You're going to be, you know, sunning yourself on Lake Tahoe this summer, flying around in an aerial mapping situation. And you're $100,000 in debt. I mean, let's tell everybody that is now. But does it feel good, though?
Yeah, honestly, it does. I'll be honest. It felt great as soon as I passed my commercial check ride and my DP shook my hand and said, go make some money. I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Nice.
It's a different pride I think you get once you pass the check ride, especially when you get your commercial multi and then you realize like, hey, I could get a job flying at King Air right now if I get lucky, or, you know, you have the qualification to.
Gotcha. So, hey, real quick, before we get off here, because I know the comments are going to be, they're going to show up. I guarantee it. Jamal, why don't we tell everybody how you received your commercial before reaching 250 hours?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. That's a big question I get. So in part 61 flight training, you can log 50 hours of simulated time in a simulated approved advanced aviation training device, AATD. And that's for part 61. And that's how ATP does it. And it makes it a little bit more cost efficient. So you're not having to build 50 hours in the actual plane towards your commercial. So when you take your commercial check ride at ATP, you only have 200 hours and then 50 hours of AATD time towards your commercial. That doesn't count towards your total time. So
gotcha.
When you leave the program, and you do it traditionally, you will leave with 250 hours. But since I deferred my CFI, I forgot to mention that, I took my single engine time that I would have did in CFI and turned it into multi time. So I ended the program with 28 hours of multi instead of having the extra whatever hours of single time that would have got me to 250. I thought it was more, you know, I would rather take the multi time than take the single engine time. So
that's interesting. They say don't include it in your total time because, I mean, it's that what you're talking about is one of those, it's a simplified flight simulator, correct? Yeah. So I don't know. Technically, I think,
yeah,
I think that's still total time in my book, you know,
yeah, gotcha.
Especially since the requirements, you know, still call out 250 hours, you know, and it's just how that those hours are broken up. Maybe they just don't want people referring to it at ATP as total time. It's like an internal culture thing, but I don't know.
Yeah. So I just thought of a great question. So one of the things on your first interview that I thought was incredible was you mentioned there's these airlines that would actually interview people right out of ATP, right when they got their CFI, and then give them a stipend if they commit to working for them. And then once they reach 1500 hours, they would be transitioned over. Because of the route that you're taking, would you still qualify for something like that?
I don't believe so. A lot of the programs that ATP offers, you have to be an ATP instructor. Part of the SkyWest pilot pathway program. But there's no commitment with that. It's just you sign up, they accept you, and you just keep on updating your hours till you basically get to 1500, and then you keep your seniority from the time that you have got accepted into the program. And the seniority only goes within your class. It's not like actual company seniority where you get bid and, you know, all that.
Gotcha.
But back real quick to that hour thing though, Jamal, I wanted to mention that I think you, because I think you should dig into this and make sure ask one of the recruiters or whatever at your company, you know, somebody in HR, whether they would count that towards total time. I'm thinking that counts as far as what their insurance company or whatever they're looking for at an actual employer. I could see how ATP doesn't want everybody running around claiming this is their time, making that their thing, but that may count towards you getting in that pilot seat of that aircraft. At your new
employer. Might, because if that's the case, I have 290 hours.
Exactly. Only 10 hours away.
Yeah.
From the
yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely look into that.
Yeah.
So one other question, you know, a lot of our viewers and we love your charisma. You're a young guy. You're ready to conquer the world. You're really, you started a career in aviation, but early made the switch. A lot of our viewers are second career guys. And as we, now we did a collaboration with Flying with Trent, who his kind of specialty is he's a career 2.0 guy. And I know a lot of them might be thinking, is this a young guy's game at ATP, or were there guys in their 40s and 50s, you know, that were had previous jobs that were in the program too?
Yeah, there's older guys. I'd say the majority of guys are older at ATP. There's plenty of guys that are older than me. Wife, kids, you know, they got a whole family going, left for career. Yeah. My instructor, he worked at an Olympic athlete training center. He, you know, worked for Porsche at one point. Like he's had plenty of careers, and now he's a flight instructor for ATP. So it's not a young man's game. I think it might be a little bit easier if you're older, I'll be honest, just because you have the knowledge under your belt, the life experience to endure through something, and you probably already went through college and you know how corporate, you know, environments are. But the younger guys, I see a lot of the younger guys that are fresh out of high school, they struggle a little bit more because their work ethic is extremely low. You know, they've never had a full-time job. They never went to college. They've only had high school. And it's a little bit tough going in ATP with just that experience.
That's encouraging. And I'm sure there's quite a few was there a lot of ladies in the course too? Was there some?
No, not much. I'll be honest. Like in my location, there wasn't much diversity. I mean, it was a couple girls, maybe like three girls. One of them was African-American, me, and I was the only, or me and another, there's an African-American guy. And that was about it. But everyone else, you know.
Well, if there's some ladies watching, they need to push through
yeah, definitely
start the program. So yeah,
there's like no one's gonna hold you back. I mean, there's, you know, everyone gets treated equally. No one's gonna baby you. There's no, you know, privilege, I'd say, being a lady. Like, you know, work just as hard as everyone else. But it's just, yep. I think the career field isn't as, you know, it's not, you know, I guess, advertised to women as much as it should be, even though, you know, they can do it. And yeah, everybody can do it. You just got to work hard.
Jamal, I love your enthusiasm, man. ATP needs to put you in some of their commercials or something, you know, just a success story, poster child for the way it's supposed to work. Yeah. You know, it's awesome. And I love that you're still out there kicking butt, man. We're going to have you back on here in a little over a year. And I guarantee you're going to be telling us how you just got hired at such and such regional airline.
Oh yeah. We'll definitely keep, and you know, for our viewers, I just want to ask them, and who do you think got the better trip for this? So Sean's in Oklahoma City. He's got a cold. He just left the urgent care and he's, we got to cut the video short. Okay.
Yeah. And I have an ear infection.
I'm in Park City. It snowed every second of every minute that I've been here, and I'm getting ready to go snowmobile.
Yeah. I think you won, Mike. Yeah. I'm about to go lay back down let these antibiotics work.
Sounds good. Well, thanks again, Jamal, and we'll keep in touch. We've been keeping in touch via text. It's your milestones, and we'll have you back on again.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you all having me.
All right, thanks for joining us, folks, and we'll see you next week. If you got a question for us you'd like to answer on the show, you can email us at podcast@profileplaybook.com.